Hello again. It's In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post, ahead of another cracking weekend of action. Is that a tingle in my creak, I feel? That's right. We've got a fantastic race for you, but John Bond's knees are creaking, and Il Était Temps and Lotus Hood are waiting in the wings to give him something to think about in the two-mile division. Speaking of the two-mile division as well, we also see a bit of Lalamba, his first Grade 1, over fences on that Sandown card as well. A small field, but a fascinating race nonetheless. We get a spin over the national fences in the Beecher, and we get a London National at Sandown as well. So staying Chase fans, you are very much in clover as well. So Aintree and Sandown taking centre stage over the course of the weekend, and a couple of, well, I say a couple, these loads of really good races. There's some decent handicap hurdles. There's a cracking little novice hurdle that opens the card at Sandown. They're going to see some horses for the future for sure. But it's all about the present in terms of the Tingle Creek. Will it be the two French-bred seven-year-olds who finally wrestle that crown off John Bond? We will soon find out, won't we? It is live and interactive, as ever, so get involved on the chat. Again, it might well be that we're sort of going a little bit Groundhog Day and talking about your John Bonds. And I mean, I already feel about Groundhog Day talking about Lalamba. It's only been 12 months since he made his racecourse debut, but we do get to find out a little bit more about both those horses and many, many more over the course of the weekend. So get involved in the chat. Like it. Thumbs up. Go on, like it now. Go on. Go on now.
Please like us.
We'll wait. We'll wait. Yes, of course, tonight's panel, the needy Robbie Wilders.
Needy indeed. How are you, Ross?
You just love to be liked, don't you?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Do you like my new shirt, mate?
I do like your new shirt. It's
please guess how much it cost. You won't believe it. Jack and Jones. So just give you a bit of context.
£2.50.
Now £3. ASOS flash sale.
I was joking. It wasn't far off.
Yeah. We're down from 30. So that's a tip for you. ASOS flash sales. Keep an eye out for them. Plenty of value to be extracted there.
So between the new shirt and the new haircut, you've got change for a tenner, I reckon.
Excuse me, mate. That's a £25 skin fade you're talking about. Shout out Elephant Barbers.
Yeah, I'll do it for but an elephant did that. Unbelievable.
An elephant and castle, mate.
Unbelievable.
I like the fact that when you said £2.50, Robbie wasn't surprised.
He wasn't surprised. He was like, "Have you been on the sale as well, mate?"
He knows that I have low standards.
Yeah. No, I think we both like a bargain. We're both
We do. Yeah, we're value hunters.
Absolutely. Look, it's the name of the game, Tom, isn't it? We're price sensitive on this show. That's for sure.
That's it. That's the way. £2.50 for a shirt. Blimey, can't think of that. That's less than my sandwich I bought earlier today. Good buying, well, Mr. Wilde.
It's a man wearing Calvin Klein, as we can see.
Yeah, absolutely. How long have you had that body warmer, Tom?
Oh, 25 years.
I must have seen that in 30 in the nose, that bit of kit.
I think that was the first thing Calvin Klein ever made, actually, himself.
I got given it when I was playing in a golf tournament about 20 years ago. I don't think I've taken it off since.
Lovely stuff, right? So you're mocking him for spending £3 on a shirt, and you won't wear clothes unless they're given to you for free. Right, fantastic stuff. Let's get a crack on with the racing then, shall we? We've got a cracking day tomorrow, Tom. What did we make of today? We obviously had another National Hunt talking horse, the best since Denman. And again, when those things start to come out, you think, yeah, all right, I'll wait to see that. But to be fair, no drama in the end. He couldn't have done it much easier without sort of lapping them and going around again, could he?
No, he was good, wasn't he? But it's hard to know these things. We see this all the time, don't we, with these British novices that come out and win, you know, sort of, you know, who knows how good they are. And then come the spring, Willie Mullins will have 17 like that, won't he? And who knows how good he might be, very good. I literally don't know. I like Salva, though.
Yeah.
I like Salva in the novice chase. I've always liked Salva. I think he's a really good, strong stayer. Stepping up, it was 3 miles this time, wasn't he? I think he'll win some good races on soft ground.
Yeah, he's another one of those horses that, again, feels like he's, because he started so young, and obviously he ran three or four times in the first couple of months as a juvenile, didn't he? Winning at Chepstow and whatnot. He's battle hardened, isn't he, already?
Yeah. I mean, he's never really done, I hate saying it, but people sort of get idea, oh, he's done it already. You know what I mean? He keeps keeps doing it, doesn't he, Salva? I like him, and I was surprised he's taken on so well defensively. He's only five. The thing is, we sort of think, you know, the Nassalam experiment with Gary Moore, where he won the Welsh National by 50 lengths as a 5 or 6 year old, what he is, and now he can't raise a leg. So I hope it doesn't happen too soon for Salva, but I like him. I've always liked him, and I think soft ground suits him really well. So I'm hoping that, you know, one day he might win a Welsh National or a National, or be competing in races like that.
I think given today, I mean, they'd be a little bit disappointed if he wasn't, you know, getting in the frame in Grade Ones. If you're bolting up in a Grade Two novice,
you've got to do that to run in a National these days, haven't you?
Yeah, true. That's true.
I mean, basically, it's a Grade One. It's a Grade One race now, isn't it? Because you don't have to jump and I'm hoping he gets that. I'm hoping he goes there. I really like him. And I like the Paul Nicholls horse as well. He was really good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Financially, I had a bit of a hit at Exeter because I liked Donica at Exeter and I couldn't see the race. And then when they did show it, he was in front after jumping in the last because of the rain and everything. And then he got beaten on the line. So that was a bit annoying. But I really enjoyed it. And I think tomorrow's even better. I mean, fantastic racing tomorrow. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it is. 3 from 3 for Gary Moore today as well, and I am contractually obliged to hold this up. That for Sam, producer Sam Hart there as well.
Shout out to the Moors.
So there you go. That's Sam's T-shirt. It's again £2.50. I think that cost him as well. So
this is much nicer than that.
That is. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
let's face it.
What did you make of today? It was good. Exeter has some interesting horses. The 3 from 3 for the Moors at Sandown. No drama this end. It's funny with those novice hurdlers and also your novice chasers as well, because a lot of these races, they are kind of the go out there and prove you're good enough to eat at the top table. And you, Salva and No Drama This End today went, we are, and we'll see you, you know, we'll see you in the new year, basically.
Yeah, basically. You didn't really learn much. I mean, certainly No Drama This End was entitled to do that. Mm. I see he's been cut to 6-1 for the Gallagher. I mean, that's probably fair enough because what else can you do? But you, again, like Tom says, he is going to face Irish novices who have probably achieved more by the time that comes around.
Yep.
So he deserves to be that sort of price, but on what we've seen, but you just know something else is going to come and probably be better than him, to be honest.
Albeit the new Lion.
True. So, the new Lion got the job done that day, but I need to see a bit more before we're getting carried away and sort of saying he's the next best thing.
No, you're right. Yeah, it's not the carried away. It's the what I want to see. Like I said, I want to see people. I want to see horses who are they're entering that level. They're going we're in the entries. You know, we're genuinely in with the chance because you want 5 or 6 of them come March and April.
Yeah, of course you do. And you want to have British representation as well, not just Irish always dominating.
Yeah.
And whatever he does, he's going to be better as a chaser going forward anyway. So obviously a very, very exciting horse to keep on side of.
For sure. Hello to everyone watching at home, to Viper Viper, to GSTW722, who says, come on, Tom Siegel, give us some winners. We'll get to that in a little bit. Hello to Neil Matcham, good evening to you. Hello to Tom Leach, to Paul Tolliver, to Cheltenham Master, and to Brian Galt. How the devil are you, my good man? And everyone else, let's get you thoughts and feelings in the chat. Again, if you really fancy one strongly, put the in capital letters and we'll get it read out. Tim Comley says, good to see Robbie back. That shirt reminds me I need to do the washing up.
Okay, fair enough. So fair enough. I actually do have a tea towel almost very much resembling this, so that's a good angle.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I need to change the bedding when I get home as well. No, look, it's nice that someone else gets the stick for what shirt they're wearing, so it's nice to pass it on to you, Robbie. So anyway, we'll get into tomorrow very shortly. But if you haven't already signed up to Racing Post Plus, make sure you do so by the end of tonight. Because the Black Friday sale, which goes on for 6 months at least, ends tonight. 30% off every single package, Insights, Tipping, Ultimate, but unfortunately not 30% off Robbie Wilder's fashion tips. That's exclusive to the Racing Post WhatsApp group, so there you go. Right, let's have a look at tomorrow then. Sandown and Aintree, like I said, taking centre stage. And we're going to kick off over at Sandown with a potential qualifier, albeit a hugely competitive one, and one where, to be fair, quite a few of these, I don't think they'll be messing around for qualifying for the spring big race, because it's going to be very, very different conditions. In theory, there is plenty of rain forecast. It's always testing when it gets soft at Sandown, of course. But on paper, quite a few of these will relish those conditions. Kiki Joe is 3-1. Supremely West 4-1. Absolutely Doyen 4-1. Turn the Lights Down Low is 5s. Icarac 7s. Lavender Hill Mob 15-2. And then 12-1 barred those. Now, with the potential for the ground softening up, there are already quite a few non-runners on tomorrow's card and a few in this race. So it is a smaller field than we were expecting. But loads of question marks here. Was Supremely West as questionable a ride as a lot of people thought last time out? Robbie, is Absolutely Doyen as good as he looked last time out? And then you've got Kiki Joe's favourite. The Hobbs and White Hurdlers this year are on fire.
They are indeed. French Ship, of course, you're alluding to.
Very good horse, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very interesting race, actually. It's one of those where you can make a case of an awful lot. I was very keen on Supremely West at Cheltenham last time, but you could tell early on Harry Skelton took him on the wrong part of the track. But like you touched upon, it's a bit of a worry that Gal Road was so far ahead of him because he also took that disadvantageous route. So you've got to be against him, I think. I thought this youngster, Turn the Lights Down Low, was quite interesting. He's never gone over a trip this far, but his pedigree is interesting. I mean, Jenny's Jewel is damn. 3 mile grade 1 second at Punchestown and won an Ascot Stakes over a marathon trip at Royal Ascot. Nice pedigree. Don't know how he's going to fare on this softer ground, but he caught my eye from the bottom of the weights. I've got absolutely no weight on his back. And thought I'd give a Green Book a shout out because he is 2 from 2 at the track.
Tis the season.
You've perked up a bit.
Well, Venetia Williams, shocking ground at Sandown. I mean, Green Book, and just light horses like this. I mean, he's been off for 996 days. I think I backed him in that attempt when he finished fourth. So I thought I've had at least one decent bet that's come off on him. So he's in there now for life.
Yeah. He's just sort of remembering quite fondly a few years ago as well. But I mean, Venetia, I trust her more than pretty much anyone to get a horse ready off a big layoff. Yeah. And we don't know what sort of ability he retains, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he sort of halved in price beforehand. So there were the ways I was looking, but really interesting and tricky race.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Turn the Lights Down Low. The main pick for you in a tough
race? I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah,
I would say so.
Keith Liard in good form as well. They even had winners over hurdles and fences, and also a second in a 5 furlong sprint at Lingfield the other day. Which so they're all running well. Tom, you were very keen on Kiki Joe at Cheltenham last time out. Will you be playing up your winnings, or is this a different proposition?
Tricky one. I think there's loads you can give a chance to, like Robbie said. Supremely West, I don't fancy. I just don't. I think I don't know what happened at Cheltenham last time. And as Robbie pointed out, the horses, he might have been on the wrong part of the track, but he still didn't run very well. So he's off. Green Book, I don't know. It could be 6-1. It could be 106-1. He's a sort of guessy selection that you could throw a few quid at if he's, at a big price, but he's not for me. An easy card win. I thought Lavender Hill Mob had a chance myself. I know he's only a 4-year-old, but at the prices, I thought he was interesting simply because I was really impressed with him at Cheltenham last time. And I thought the step up to 3 miles wouldn't be a problem, even though it's my expert eye. He looked like he wanted 3 miles last time. He won with loads in hand. I thought that was a good race. You know, you had Royal Infantry and a few other good ones in behind him that day. He could go well, but deep down, I think Kiki Joe is probably going to win again because I think the conditions, I mean, I'm 30 miles away, but it is biblical rain where I am. Normally it's on the flight path to Sandown from where I am. We don't normally get the rain we get about half an hour later on. And if it does get very testing, I think Kiki Joe will relish it and he'll stay forever. So I think he's the most likely winner. I get Robbie's Turn the Lights Down Low angle. Jenny's Jewel loved heavy ground. It's the only way she'd ever win was when it was really bottomless. And so there's a chance he might like it again. If he stayed 3 miles, it's whether he stays 3 miles in heavy ground at Sandown. So
yeah.
I really think Kiki Joe will probably win, but it's not a race I'm going to get too involved in.
No, fair enough. The one thing I would say is on times, that Cheltenham race wasn't that soft. They'd had five runnings on soft in the past 10 years, and that was the fastest one. Yeah, so it wasn't that bad. And Supreme West is a proper, proper heavy ground horse. So if it is going to be as bad as you suggest, I think the excuse should have been, well, it doesn't matter where we raced, it just wasn't the conditions we were expecting. So I do think he's got... I don't know. I tend to want to avoid these kind of horses, Tom, because once you have sort of two camps of like, no, it was a dodgy ride. No, you're making it up, and I feel like you can't approach it objectively after that.
It's just a price thing, Ross, isn't it? Because if he, you know, it's Dan Skelton, Harry Skelton, any other horse that ran as badly as he did, and I know people are making excuses. He's 4-1.
Yeah, he was 5-4 last time though, Tom. 5-4.
I know, but but he was beating blinking miles.
No, I know. But I mean, if you backed him at 5-4 last time out, you'd be thinking 4-1's amazing.
I get it, but it's just not my modus operandi. Keels is totally different. I don't know what Robbie's like. Maybe he's the same, but I just don't back horses that get beaten miles the next time, because it's not. You know, I know they can be big prices, but I feel bad if they win, and I feel even worse when they're like tailed off out the back and think what an idiot I was. So it's just not my style. Yeah.
I do think the other horse to mention here is I think Ikarak's a very strong stayer as well. I like the way that he really knuckled down to beat an informed horse last time out. So the more I talk about it, the more I'm definitely not going to bet it, because we've made a case for literally six horses in there. So Kiki Joe to win by 6 lengths, says Here, There and Everywhere. It's a tough race for us, Robbie, but on the chat, very confident.
Absolutely, I've not read the chat.
I just told you what it said. Kiki Joe to win by 6
lengths. Oh, understood, yeah.
6 plus.
Sorry, mate. That's a million miles away, though.
Don't you worry about it. Absolutely fine, mate. Right, let's get you back in the room for the next,
please,
shall we? Over at Sandown, where we go for the Henry VIII Novices Chase. Again, only 4 runners, which seems a shame. You should at least have 6 in the Henry VIII, shouldn't you? It should be a prerequisite. Lulambra is 8-13 here. Lump Sum 9-2. Be Aware 5-1. Al Nilam 15-2. And a small but select field of... 3 horses who have really proven themselves in high-class handicap hurdles and were almost top-class over the smaller obstacles. And, of course, Lulambra, who, apart from the Triumph Hurdle, Tom, carried all before him. And, again, there are still some people on social media that haven't forgiven me or Keels for thinking that East India Dock would beat Lulambra, even though neither of them won. So I'm really excited to begin this debate again for another season of how good Lulambra is. But... look, he looked good at Exeter, the time was good, and the form's been given a right old boost today.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tricky one, isn't he? Because his reputation undoubtedly outstrips what he's actually achieved on the track. Because although he was finished second in the Triumph, you know, I don't think it was a brilliant race. He went on to punch down last time and turn the tables on Poniras, I get that. And he did jump fine at Exeter, but it wasn't like he was electric at his fences. He was satisfactory, is how I'd describe it. Mm-hmm. I think there's a case for thinking that Lump Sum has better actual form than him. I think his second in the Betfair Hurdle off a massive weight was a really good run. So while people like to say graded horses are definitely better than top class handicappers, I'm not totally convinced that the juvenile form was that good. So I'd give him a chance, Lump Sum. He definitely jumped very well at Utoxeter. Be Aware is taken really well to fences too. And I like the way he went around Cheltenham last time. But if Lulambra is as good as the Henderson camp and everyone thinks he is, he'll win. But I'm just, you know, second time out, Sandown, heavy ground. I'm not sure I'd be backing him at 8-13, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, you know, Altior, John Bond, both dotted up in this before going on to bigger and better things. Again, part of me, again, what I was saying at the start of the show, Robbie, part of me wants, I want to see him come up and absolutely bolt up here, because we want as many exciting horses to rise to the top as possible. And, like I said, we've barely seen him on the race course, have we?
Yeah, I mean, like Tom's, I totally agree that he is plenty short on what he's actually done. I was reading Sam Thomas's quotes just now, saying Lump Sum has a bit to find on his hurdles rate, and I'm not sure he does really. I think he was one of the best, certainly one of the best 2-mile hurdlers in Britain last season. Just worries me the rain that Sandown has had, to be honest, because he's at his best on good ground. But I thought he was just as impressive, if not more impressive, when he's chasing David than Lulambra. The horse he beat, Jacks Jr., is a good horse who went on and pummeled Jericho Le Repenay at Kempton next time. Yeah. Highly rated horse of the Hendersons. So I think he was the way I was looking before the rain came. That worries me. But I'll also give a shout to Be Aware and Alnilam as well, because they've made really nice transitions to chasing. Essentially, it's one of those where I'm probably going to sit it out now, having back lump sum in the early in the week. But I would not be taking that short price. I wouldn't be rushing to do that, for sure.
No. Again, it's very much a... I think he will probably win, but I don't want to be... I don't want to be playing at those prices to find out.
Yeah, you can leave it in.
But it is, I mean, they are all talented horses. And we saw with Mirabad today at Exeter, again, in similar... It's a very similar profile, that race, wasn't it? Joyeuse was the best horse. Henderson, run well last time out. And you could look at Mirabad and say, just a handicapper. Mm. But it is a different proposition. And like you said, there's not that much between winning 20 runner top-class handicap hurdles and winning decent grader races.
And something I'll add is, he's obviously far from the finished product. He's only four. He's only just started his career. You've got horses more in their prime, lump sum 7 years old, a lot more experience on his belt. And obviously these 2 mile chases at Sandown is just all about rhythm and how you negotiate your fences at speed. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he got one, he didn't get the same sort of rhythm, a trickier jumping test. So for that reason as well, it just makes it all the more unlikely to want to get involved in him at a short price.
Although I did everything, I thought part of the reason why I was taking him on last year was this lad looks like a chaser, like he's a big lad.
But isn't, people are talking about him as like a potential Gold Cup horse down the line, rather than, I know class is the most important thing, but you know, his horse is probably gonna stay further, and this is a sharpish test.
Yeah, but people want to put horses in similar approaches.
It's
so
true.
The next Shishkin is which people want.
Yeah, we're saying that about Alti, or like, oh, it'd be better over further. Never happened.
Yeah, and fortunately, Nicky Henderson, post 2.5 miles, isn't that interested, really, is he?
Yeah, exactly. There's always this yearning for horses to just go over further.
Yeah.
And maybe.
Oh, I hope you're wrong there, Ross. I hope you're wrong. I hope he's interested in Django Bay being better over further.
Yeah, possibly, but he dropped him back for an Arkle, didn't he? I mean, it does it all the time, and it's weird. This is going to be a weird tangent, but you know, Matt Shepherd, the trainer, you know, said he specialises in slow 2 milers. He's like, they could go 2.5, they could go 3 miles, but I prefer him to stay further over two. I feel like Nicky Henderson likes the similar type, but for the very top class chasers. He is loath to run them in those proper sort of heartbreaking staying top class chasers.
You say that, but I think the owners of Long Run and Bobsworth and Trebolgan and
those three horses in 20 years, Tom.
That's three bloody good ones, Ross. Excuse my language.
But Willie Mullins has had three of the same profile in the past 12 months.
I think Shishkin would have won a King George too. I don't know.
He would have, but he didn't run him. He didn't. That's the point, Tom. He didn't run him in it. He did.
He fell over when he was winning.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah. Of course he did. Yeah,
didn't finish, so it didn't count.
Yeah, that didn't count.
Irrelevant.
Doesn't count, sorry.
Yeah, and I'm sure falling over when he was winning really convinced Nicky that he should run more in 3 mile chases, I'm sure. Anyway, let's have a look. What have we got on the chat? Don't discount Alnilam, especially after its win at Cheltenham in October, says Darren. And lump sum is the value bet, says Jeff. Right, fascinating race there at Sandown. Alnilam 8-13 to follow in some illustrious stablemates' footsteps. Next up at Sandown, we have a proper Sandown handicap hurdle here, over 2 miles. And of course, your Knickerbocker Glories, your Affadils, your Go Dantes, and your Goshens are turning up. Knickerbocker Glory is 15-8. Glyn Bray is 130. Affadil is 11-2. Go Dante 6-1. Katira 11-1. Honky Tonk Highway 14s. Goshen 16s with Metier at 18-1. And plenty of horses who will relish conditions here at Sandown. But Robbie Wilder's more so than the favourite, whose profile, when coming off the back of a break in races like this, is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, ho ho.
He's going to be hard to beat.
Boy, is it, you reckon?
I think
he's going in full steam ahead.
Well, you've bet one against him.
Yes, I have.
So you're going to disagree with me.
Well, why didn't he run in the Greatwood? I don't know. Well, I thought that maybe just wait for it. He's got a form of Sandown, hasn't he, I suppose?
Well, they said unsuitable ground.
I think it was pretty suitable.
Well, I think...
It was drying, though, wasn't it?
It was a horrible... I think that Sunday, it was a horrible race. It was a horrible conditions, wasn't it, by the time we got to that Sunday? I think they... You can't put unsuitable weather, necessarily, but I would have...
No one wants to run in the rain, really, do they? I did that last week.
Gale force winds and all sorts. It was sticky ground. Yeah. It was odd. It was you can't. Race.
Yeah, too windy. That should be an non-runner excuse. It is hard to run in the wind. I've tried it before, mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was getting absolutely blown all over the place in Birch Park last weekend.
No, I know. It's tough. It's you need to slipstream in behind someone.
Exactly.
There you go.
More of an indoor runner.
What have you backed?
I've backed Glyn Bray. Okay. I like this horse. He, unexposed, going right-handed, right? That's a new angle. That's something Rodgers would say, isn't it?
Yeah. Is he great
as
well?
Basically, he's won a lot of races going left-handed, jumping out to his right. And he won at this track last time, over 2.5 miles. And you're thinking, he looked like he's going to get beaten at one point, and then he rallied to the victory. So you're thinking, oh, why is he going back to 2 miles? But I'm thinking, well, I like that attitude he showed that day. I like horses who fight for the cause. And this horse is pretty rugged. Not rugged, is that
a
word?
Yeah, rugged is
a
word, yeah.
He's rugged. He's got a nice profile. He's consistent. And he's only 5. I think he's a handicap earlier on the up. Whereas Knickerbocker, sure, he is on a high enough mark for a horse that's nearly 10, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he's going to be ready. I just wonder if he might be susceptible to younger legs, and the same goes for Go Dante.
Yeah, I think in contrast, for example, you Go Dante's and you, Affadil has never has been unplaced every run pre New Year, and has a fantastic spring record. So there's horses for, you know, the times of year,
horses
the profile,
for times of year.
Knickerbocker Glory and your Glyn Brays for this one. Affadil's and you Go Dante's for your Imperial Cups, that kind of thing.
Nice.
Feels like that kind of. I think it's quite a good race to bet in because of that. Yeah. Feeling that some of these are actually just running
building towards something, but then you could, playing devil's advocate, could Go Dante. You know, he's going to be 10 when he tries to win his third Imperial Cup.
Yeah,
how many more big days has he got in? Does it not make more sense to have him ready to rock? What do you think?
Well, I think when the answer to how many more big days he got in, one possibly
just one in March, in that's
March.
It.
Possibly,
well, I don't know. I mean, I don't like him either way, but yeah, Glyn Bray for me and Knickerbocker for you and for Tom.
Yeah. In terms of Glyn Bray, we've put your horses in profiles. Is it the next I like to move it? Kind of stepping into Master Chewy, you know, the owners, 2 mile.
Oh, yeah.
Decent 2 milers.
Yeah, we like these young improvers, don't we?
Yeah. All right. Glyn Bray then, dropping back to 2 miles. Today's 2.5, handle soft ground. And he's got Toby McCain Mitchell in the saddle as well, who I've been, if you haven't been impressed with him, then I think you've been watching the wrong races for sure. So Glyn Bray, 132nd favourite. But yeah, Knickerbocker Glory. Last 3 seasons. Again, horses for courses, for races, for profiles. He clearly comes back after a summer break, Tom, and goes, right, let's go. Wins his race, and then has enough. But, he's going to be hard to beat. What did you make of this race?
Well, he's going to be hard to beat. 15-8 is not for me. That's, it's a tough handicap on tough ground. He might win, but, you know, it was a much, much worse race last year. When he won it. In fact, it was a pretty rubbish race, if truth be told, which he won last year. He's up in the weight, so I thought I'd take him on. And I know you don't like him, Ross. I like Affadil a bit. I'm not worried about that after Christmas stuff. I thought he ran perfectly well at Ascot. Don't worry about him on the ground. I like his stand down record. Harry Cobden's getting down to his lowest weight. I just thought he's going to run well. I thought he'd run really well. He beat Knickerbocker Glory in the Imperial Cup last year. Probably should have won it. Probably hit the front too soon. The ground's not an issue, I don't think. He was 5th in the county hurdle off a £10 higher mark in 2024. He led at the last alongside, also we'll talk about later, Loader Sud. Absurd beat him. He lost 3rd on the line. Plenty of form that gives him a very good chance off his current mark. He was 12-1 earlier in the day. I thought that was too big. He's about the right price now. That's how I would have had him. I'd have had Knickerbocker Glory about 2-1. Glyn Bray, I get as well. He's unexposed. He'll like the ground and he'll stay. Quinton Davison used to have a very good record in races like this, so I like those. But I thought those were the three. I mean, you could make a case for Goshen, I suppose, coming back after the Moore form. Moore horses ran so well today and he will love the ground. So if he's back, yes, you can make a case for him. Not my type of bet, him, but I could see it. I just thought when I was doing it earlier on, the double figure price about Affadil was way too big. And that's why I took a bit of that.
All right. Affadil currently 11-2 shot. A slightly take. I know it was a particularly, potentially a bad race last year, Tom. But I mean, he beat Namian Lion by 8 lengths. And, you know, he was 3rd in a Grade 1 last week, Namian Lion.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I didn't think that Milan was in great form last year, to be honest. And listen, I get what you're saying, and maybe you're right.
Oh, no, it's slightly tongue-in-cheek, you know, again.
I know, I did get it. But 15-8 is 15-8, isn't it, at the end of the day, in a tough handicap.
Yeah, fair enough. That's the 2 mile. Let's have a look at what people make of the chat. To be fair, Tom Leach says Ross Affidil's won 4 with Cobden riding 3 of them, eye-catching booking. That is true. But again, like his name, I'm hoping he comes good in the spring, Tom. As for the rest,
hey.
Dave Brown says, when Knickerbocker Glory hacks up, I'll be singing Lonnie Gordon, It's Happening All Over Again.
Not familiar with that one.
No, me neither. You, Tom?
No.
No? No, okay. Dave, send us a link to it and I'll we might sing it over the closing credits. Here, There and Everywhere also says, claiming jockeys have also won 3 of the last 4 renewals. But again, Toby McCain-Mitchell. He's good, isn't
Not
he?
Not bad, is he? £5, absolute steal, mate.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got the pedigree, isn't he, related to Ginger McCain. So I hear.
Yeah, there's a lot. Again, he's got the... Yeah, you've got to have 5 or 6 surnames, haven't you, to make it in the jockey's game.
Yeah, Brierley and Wilders have got no chance of it.
We've got absolutely no chance.
No nepotism going on there.
Well, I think it's just, you know, like anything, the more you do it, the better you get. And I can assure you my dad was not legging me up on horses.
Yeah.
When I was younger.
I can assure you my dad has not watched a horse race in 61 years.
So no? What race did he watch then?
Is he
61?
61, yeah. Yeah.
What's he into? What other sports?
He likes, he's a big Chelsea fan. That's where I got it from, obviously.
Yeah.
He just likes football, really, mate, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Thanks very much indeed.
Will he be watching the World Cup draw, Robbie?
Nah, no chance.
No, I'm not interested in England football, just Chelsea.
Yeah, no, I'm a bit the same, Tom, though. Like, I would much rather Chelsea won the Champions League than England won the World Cup.
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't understand how people love it so much. They hate Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard during the week.
Yes.
But then as soon as they play for England, you've got to cheer for them.
Yeah,
100%. Know, 100%.
I'd like to be very clear that I would much prefer England to win the World Cup than Chelsea win the Premier League.
But yeah, what if it was Sheffield Wednesday winning the Premier League, Matt?
Well,
you just need to survive, first of all.
I think there's more chance of the Democratic Republic of Congo winning the World Cup than Sheffield Wednesday winning the Premier
Ross,
League.
Ross, I haven't told you are cordially invited to Reading next year to watch Reading versus Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday.
I can't wait. I cannot
go together. Yeah. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Nice day out.
Lovely day.
See, you say I never see you, Ross. I invite you, and you say no.
No, I'll come. Is it the It's not still the Majeski, is it? Is it the Majeski?
No.
No. Where are you now?
Sponsor now, isn't it?
Select Car Leasing Stadium.
All right. Famous.
How about that?
It's not
ringtone.
Next year, I'll see you there. I'll see you there next year.
No,
I'll
come Select as well. Car Leasing, Ross, don't send us a nice new car soon. We won't mention Select Car Leasing ever again, will we?
We won't. And we won't mention that that wine merchant, whatever they were called.
Yeah, well, yeah, they never arrived, did they, the wine?
Never arrived. Doesn't work, does it? Right, okay. Let's see if William Hill will send us $500,000 if we mention this. The William Hill $500,000 Beecher Handicap Chase. 3.25 miles over the National Fences at Aintree tomorrow. Top weight, classy stayer, Mr. Vango is 5-1 favourite here. Gallia De Litto 11-2. Gaborio 6-1. Bioluminescence is 13-2. Bill Baxter 7-1. Western in the Park 8s. Accello 9s. White Rhino is also 9-1. And it is bigger the rest at Aintree for the 2:40 tomorrow. Again, a midwinter spin. Over the National Fences, always entertaining, that's for sure. But rated 152, 12 stone, top weight in this. It's going to be a right old task for Mr. Vango, isn't it, Tom? Admittedly, last time we saw him, he couldn't stop winning. Half this field have to prove they stay, and he certainly does not. But, it's a big ask. Again, in terms of classy horses, we all love a big weight-staying performance, weight-carrying performance in a staying chase, Tom. But I don't know, I kept looking at him thinking, crikey, it really is a big ask, and there's some good horses at much lower weights.
Yeah, I mean, I did the Welsh National in the week, and I'm not one for thinking that top weights can't win these races by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I quite like them, because I think everyone else hates them, simply because they think that carrying big weights over long distances is, it's at the end of the day, it's still a handicap. And if Mr. Van goes that best handicapped horse in the race, he's got a massive chance. The question is he the best handicapped in the race?
Well, and the thing is, I don't mind. I'm more a class than a weight, but I don't. You know, if you've been running in better races and you're dropping down and you're giving lumps of weight away to inferior rivals, count me in. But if you've got there by going through the same grade, then I slightly go off them.
Yeah, I get that, and also he's the favourite at the end of the day. I mean, I fancy Bioluminescence in this, just simply because I think she's a class. Like, she could be a Grade One mare running against handicappers. Now she's got a bit of weight to give. She's not the best handicapped in the race. I have no idea what Bioluminescence is, but she jumps, she stays, she likes soft ground. She could be better than these. So that's the type of horse I like. I like banks. She ran in one handicap, didn't she? She ran in the Irish National. She was knocked out of the race very early on, but she started 9-1 for that. The question is, what do you do with Gary and Cromwell's form? Now, these sort of things, like Liverpool football fans, isn't it? What, you know, they're out of form at the moment, but they won't be out of form forever. Mm. And who knows when Gavin Cromwell's coming back? It could be tomorrow, for all I know. And so I like her just simply because I think she could be a class above these. She could be a proper, you know, a proper one. Whereas I think we know where the others are, really. And so she'll do for me. She'll do for me. It's just the class angle. She might finish last and Gavin Cromwell, and everyone will think Gavin Cromwell's horses are terrible, but I like backing horses that I think could win by 10 lengths in every race. And I don't think anything else. Because we know what they can do. We don't actually know what Bioluminescence can do. And I think she could be good.
Yeah, fair enough. Bioluminescence, I believe, is the in animals, you know, like glowworms and things. Basically, it's being able to produce light through natural, natural processes.
Means.
Very good.
The production of light by living organisms through a chemical reaction.
There you go.
Gemini, AI overview.
Lovely stuff.
And I am locked with Tom on bioluminescence. I have to say, really hard word to type out, Tom. I don't know if you found that today.
It is frustrating, isn't it? Forgetting one of the C's. I kept forgetting one of the C's.
One of the C's, one of the S's, one of the E's. I mean, it drove me mad. But I got it written down correctly, thanks to auto-check. And I'm here to say I agree with you, my friend.
Look, well, let's talk about this. I mean, one from 61 in the past 2 weeks. He's had 9 horses go off at single figures. Only 2 have placed. And it's not just the last 2 weeks. He was 1 from 61 the previous 2 weeks. I mean, this is a...
Forget it, mate.
Well, what? Yeah, but you said the other day...
He came off the cold list with a 12-1 winner a couple of days ago.
Yeah, but you can't. If you back them all, you're still losing your trousers.
Well, that's the wonderful thing is, me and Tom are only backing 1 Cromwell horse tomorrow.
Right,
okay. So we're only going to lose 1 bet if it doesn't do anything. True. But, yeah, I looked at this at the start of the week and thought, well, Johnny Who is Antipo's favourite. He's been taken out, and now JP's happy to rely on Bioluminescence. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
She's got the nod to run. She is a Grade 2 winner over fences already. Beat Pagan, who's done great things this season.
Yeah.
As Tom alluded to, Irish Grand National. Forget that. Wiped out the start, basically. That was a run you're not taking at face value. And then on a return, she's been caught out for speed against a proper top-class mare like Spindleberry, who, I mean, Spindleberry's owner apparently wants to go for the Gold Cup. I don't know if he'll persuade Mullins to do that anyway, but I think in a race containing so few interesting runners, I'm looking, like Tom, for something unexposed with class. And I think she's the class horse in the field. I know Mr. Van Gogh's top weight, but to me, he's a bit of a slogger, and he'll have other days, whereas Bioluminescence, I think it's fascinating he's come over. And providing that Cromwell can prove doubters like yourself wrong, I think we're on to something.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I'll message you when she finishes fifth.
P.S. I've also backed Twig.
Right, okay, all right. You're branching out?
Yeah, I'll just do the case quickly. Massive price. Second British horse home in the Grand National. Won last time in a veterans chase. Just a little bit underestimated for me, really. Runs really good races in all these top chases. Won't mind soft ground. Best RPR on heavy. Massive price of Ben Poulin.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the other one.
All right. A couple of angles there, then. Here's a few bits and bobs for you, Tom. The last 6 were rated between 137 and won 4-1 in this race. Again, I'm not necessarily suggesting, but sometimes you do look at a race and you go, how have six races in a row of horses all up? How have, it's £4 in the middle of the handicap, the absolute sweet spot. It makes no sense whatsoever.
How many of them are in tomorrow's race, Ross?
Three, I believe.
And they are?
White Rhino, Bill Baxter and Ramage. And we've got, I'm going to mention Ramage, right? This is Ramage's 51st chase start. Made its chasing debut in July 2015 on the day that postponed when the King George. And if this horse finishes in the top four tomorrow, it will pass £1 million in prize money. Yet it's never won more than one race in the UK or Ireland.
That's amazing work.
That is insane, isn't it?
You're so shocked.
Unbelievable stuff. The age of 13 almost got Robbie fired. Unbelievable stuff.
Bruce got away with it.
And a few more. Genuinely, a few more that interested me a little bit. I mean, Gaborio record over staying trips over fences: first, third, first, unseated, first, third, sixth, third, pulled up second. Lightweight stays really well. I thought Gaborio would go well, Tom.
Yeah, he runs very well at the track, doesn't he? 4 miles. He stayed 4 miles in the past. Could appreciate no reason why he won't run well. Galileo the same. I do think Mr. Vango's got a chance. I do. And Bill Baxter ran really well back over hurdles last time, didn't he? And he's still well. He's won around the fence, around the track before, so he's got a chance too. I mean, look at the prices there. We've got how many? Eight on the market. Eight between 5-1 and 9-1. That's what the type of race it is.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I am, and often these kind of races, I often think they're a bit much. The more I looked at this, the more I kind of thought it was quite interesting. I mean, Val Dancer. Mm. The only thing is, I looked at Val Dancer, and then I went all Tom Siegel. Uh-oh. I looked at the horse. I thought this horse has never finished unplaced in staying handicap chases until last time out. Finished last of nine, beat of 15 lengths. Can't back it. Welsh National around the corner as well. Yeah, that is true.
Big race though, Robbie, isn't it? It's a big race. Don't want to, you know, if you can win the Beecher Chase.
True enough.
How much is that for the winner? Don't know.
True enough. Don't like horses finished last time though. Don't like that.
No. I don't back those. We leave them to Keels and the boys that actually win money.
If given the choice, I'd prefer my horses to finish first than last. But that's just, call me old fashioned. As for those on the chat, Mr. Van Gogh for Darren and GSTW. Aidan Kelly says, Gaborio loves these fences. 10-2, must go close and due a victory at Aintree. Gallia De Litto is thrown in, says Tom Leach. William B says, don't fire Robbie, we heard nothing.
I'm getting too relaxed on these shows, mate, I tell you.
Yeah, we were having too much fun. We were on air.
You pulled out one of the best pieces of information I've ever heard on this show.
Look.
It merited a strong response.
It's about time I proved my worth, isn't it? So there you go. That's about it for this 240 over.
Anyone's interested, Ross, we've got Croatia so far in our group.
We are, of course, interested.
Yeah, we always get Croatia.
We play them loads, don't we?
You know what? And the funny thing is, I played paddle this morning and I wore the classic Croatia shirt from like 15, 20 years ago, which I've had for 20 years.
You've cursed us.
And I wore it this morning, and the guy I played with was like, oh, I've got that shirt, I love that shirt. And I went, yeah, we'll probably get him in the group later.
And like, it's happened.
First team that come out, I should have backed
chances. Could you actually bet on
the question is, Ross, how did you go? Did you win?
I did win, yeah, 6-2, 6-3, yeah.
Oh, dearie me, 6-2, 6-3, it was a drubbing then.
It was a bit of a, sorry James and Dave, but it was a drubbing. However, it was balanced out by one of the guys I was playing with. It hit me perfectly in the old Cracker Jacks.
The Tingle Creeks.
The old Tingle Creeks, yeah. We had to abandon the game 5 minutes early because turns out I can't have kids anymore. So, anyway. Right, let's move on then, shall we, to the Tingle Creek. The big feature of the day. Il Était Temps at 10 to 11 here. Lode au Sud at 9-4. John Bond 4-1. Liberty Hunter 28-1. Boot Hill the 80-1 outsider of the bunch. 2 7-year-olds take on the master in John Bond, who looked a little bit sluggish last time out when put in his place by Lode au Sud. He probably thought, come on then, I'll turn up at Sandown and we'll have a rematch. But unfortunately, Ilete Tomp has also turned up to possibly give him a beating as well. So there's a possibility here, Tom, that John Bond finishes out of the front two.
Very much so. Very much so, isn't
it? Doesn't happen, does it? Doesn't happen, but it might tomorrow.
I mean, it should have happened last time.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got away with that.
Yeah. But he somehow manages to find a way to finish in the first two every single time. Last time, he should have been third. But he's got two real up-and-comers up against him, Tom.
The last two of the last three, isn't it? Because in the champion chase, how he finished second in that.
Yeah.
Missed Aquilixi.
That's true.
The last as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's a bit of luck for this old that. But I don't fancy him. I don't. You know, he's not my type of horse anymore, John Bond. He's an absolute wonder horse and he's brilliant. Done so many good things for the sport, won so many brilliant races, but I don't know. He is top of my lummox list, him is, these days. And I just, you know, he just doesn't jump well enough anymore. It's a bit, I don't know what's happened to these Henderson horses, but John Bond and Constitution Hill were carrying all before them. Now they just don't seem to want to jump at any stage.
Is there a possibility that they've both operated at such an exceptionally high level that the drop off is a bit? I mean, possible. You know, the bigger you are, the harder you fall and all that.
Yeah, possible, but it's normally the last thing that leaves good horses is their jumping ability. Mm-hmm. To be fair, I mean, lots of, you know, good horses tend to jump well all throughout their career, I tend to think, until they end up going too fast for their own good and then falling. But they're not old horses, these two, and he just seems to have lost his mojo at the jump. So, look, he's back at Sandown. I'm sure cheap pieces are on. I'm sure there'll be plenty that want to back him. Just not my style. Yeah. I much prefer the two at the top. I think Lode Sud would be my bet of the two, just simply because I thought he was exceptional last time. And I think he's the best jumper of these runners, and I think it's not even close. I think he's a really, really good jumper. Sandown suits him. I think they just got to be positive on him and let him rip. I think that's what Lotus is good at. I don't think, you know, get them jumping, get Ilete Tomp and John Bond jumping, because if you can force them into mistakes, I'm sure you can. Neither of them are the best jumpers around. I think this is the day for Lotus Hood, and I hope he wins, because I was so impressed with him last time. He's for me. Ilete Tomp's clearly got a massive chance, isn't he? He loves Sandown. He looked really good there last year. He's a bit like Lotus Hood. He's underrated, isn't he, because of his Cheltenham form. Because everyone, you know, I just don't think he's as good as Cheltenham anywhere else. Everywhere else he seems to win. And he's got form with the best of them. I'm just wondering whether today or tomorrow is Lotus Hood's day. I think he's going to be cherry ripe. Ilete Tomp, I'm sure, will be, but I just have a feeling it might be Lotus Hood.
Okay. Lotus Hood then is a 9-4 shot for Dan and Harry Skelton. Again, I mean, could it be his day tomorrow? It certainly could. It seems to be every other Skelton's horse day at the moment. But I love Ilete Tomp.
Yeah, he's class, isn't he?
I absolutely love it. Again, he is underrated. I mean, he's recording grade one hurdles was second, first, fifth, second. Grade one chasers, second, first, third, first. Last time, he absolutely dotted up at Clonmel. Paul Townend's ridden him three times. He's 3-3 on him. And 31 lengths of that total victories in those three graded chasers. He's won five grade ones. He's won one more grade one than John Bond had when he came into this race as a seven-year-old. And because he missed most of last season, and because his hurdles form was a little bit strange, and like Tom says, he doesn't run Cheltenham that well. But I mean, he's a pocket rocket, and he just batters everything apart from Gaelic Warrior. He batters everything that's not in his own stable.
He's got a weird profile, really, in that he was a second season hurdler, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Who's just taking time to come alive, and a bit like John Bond. Everyone talks about John Bond's form, but he's not really done it at Cheltenham. Form figures of 3-5-5. He's won his last five away from Cheltenham, though. A hell of a lot of twos in there as well. So he's a top-class horse. And to me, I know Mullins has had a few horses beaten this over the past few years, but to me, he's the best candidate he's sent since Under So in 2016.
Yeah.
In terms of his sort of profile. He sent Under So to finish second here when he was 10 and 11, like the best days are over. Ilete Tomp, he's been obviously trained for this race. I think he's... That's obviously significant. I mean, it makes sense, really, because Mullins would normally start his Champion Chase horses in the hilly way, and he's already been there and done it at Sandown, ended John Bonds on beating record there. Obviously, Lotusud is the one that I fear most, but I still think Ilite Tump will have just a bit too much for him.
And he's only seven.
Yeah, I mean he could keep going on and on.
He could have another 2 years.
He's not unexposed because he's run 16 times for Mullins, but he is getting better still.
Yeah, but I mean, how old's an Ergamine these now? What, 10, 11?
Yeah, he's still knocking around, isn't he?
He's still having a good go.
He can keep him going.
Yeah, I think he's just such a good horse. But like you said, because he seems to hate going around Cheltenham, he didn't jump well in the Supreme, he didn't jump well in the Arkle. But like you said, send him literally anywhere else.
Yeah,
he looks a monster.
Only three starts ago, he beat Gaelic Warrior easily as well.
And to be fair, he should have. One of the times Gaelic Warrior beat him was that controversial one where.
Oh yes.
There's a bit of argy bargy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he is underrated. I only really started getting on with the hype about Ilite Tump when he beat John Bond really easily in that celebration.
Yeah.
So I think he's the obvious play.
Yeah.
Although I actually do think 10-11 is very, very fair, to be honest. I'd rather take that than the Lamba price. Let's put it that way.
Well, he's the he's literally everything in his favour tomorrow. He's fit.
Yeah.
He's got course form. He'll handle the ground. We know he's classy enough. He's not on the downgrade. Like, there isn't a box that's not ticked.
Mm. What about the jumping, Ross? You happy with that?
I'm happy everywhere but Cheltenham. Yeah.
It's just that's the only thing the only negative I can ever think about Ilite Tump is he's just that high, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's tiny. And so just jumping sometimes, especially if he got really heavy, might be a little bit tricky for him. Don't know.
It's possible, yeah. But it's one of those things where you're kind of scratching around looking for this might happen. But I mean, personally, again, it's another one of those races. I hope they turn into the home straight and they've all got a chance because it could be an absolute blinder of a finish.
Yeah, could be. It's a really good race, isn't it? I mean, Magpra's obviously not around and Marine National, but the other ones are there, aren't they? I mean, there's not many 2 miles around and three of them are running in this race, so it's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Ilite Tump gets beaten. Please don't fall for it, guys, says Tom Leach with his crystal ball. Chasers says he's the best horse in... I don't know. There's quite a lot of chat going on. I'm trying to work out what people actually fancy here. But better backing John Bond without the fav if you want an even money bet. Liberty Hunter should run well at 28-1. But see, he's still underrated because nobody in the chat fancies him. So anyway, cracking Tingle Creek potentially tomorrow. Let's move on then, shall we? Back to Aintree we go for the 3:15, 2.5 mile handicap hurdle here where Bear Market is 9-2 with Rambo T. 5-1 Active Authority, Wellington Arch is 5-1 as well. Rubberball 13-2, Sunray Shadow 9, Stream of Stars 12s and 14-1 bar those. And I'll go over to the man to my left. Who was saying that he has a...
The bet is not on that graphic.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's rare that someone goes, I've got a very strong fancy and I have to scroll down to find
it. Exactly,
so,
yeah. I mean,
what are we looking
at? I've got a strong fancy in that I think he should be in the mix. It's such a wide open race, but I think Kraken Rhapsody should be in the mix there with those sort of 6-7-1 horses because he's a really smart handicap hurdler. I mean, he's won the Moor Battle and the Scottish Champion Hurdle on two of his last few starts. Mm. Beating Cabral du Matin, who, sure, he's moved stable, gone to Skelton, but, you know, that's good form for me. And the Moor Battle form's worked out very well, as we were chatting about off-air. He ran a stinker in the Greatwood, yeah, but he did the same last year before winning this weekend a few years later. I think he just badly needed it. It's the question mark is the 2.5 mile trip, sure. To me, he's worth a go at it. I can't see any reason why he won't stay. He's related the... Evan Willans had his half-brother, who was a 2.5-miler. He's declared for a 2.5-mile race in the spring, came out because of fast ground. I don't think he should be 16s, mate.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Is there a concern that if he goes south of Newcastle, he seems to lose his way?
He loses his north. Well, Aintree's still pretty north, mate.
It is.
Although not as north as Scotland.
It's not, no. It's the different, slightly different accent.
Indeed, talking of Scotland, boys, they've drawn Brazil.
Oh,
have they really?
What a tie that will be.
Okay.
Scotland, Brazil and Morocco. England, Panama. England, Croatia and Panama.
Oh, the big three. Nice. The big three.
Big three. What a game that is.
Oh, unbelievable. I'm watching that on Canal Plus. Anyway. All right. OK, keep us updated on the fourth team, Tom. If Panama's the third out of the pot, who knows who's going to be the fourth?
No, but they were the fourth. I'm not really watching it, but I just looked over to see what was going on, and Panama is the bottom one. So we've got Group 3 still to come, whoever that is. I don't know. It's too uncomfortable.
What if they draw out Group 4 before Group 3? It's quite unusual, isn't it?
It's fine. Anyway, let's not get into that. Let's stick with the 3:15 at Aintree. You keep us updated, Tom, when the last team comes through, and you tell us what you fancy in this 9-2 joint favourites for, let's be honest, another insanely competitive race.
Impossible. Went through, I mean, spent hours on it, and as I told you last week, Ross, or I've told you a million times, if it takes me hours, I've got no chance of finding the winner. Mm. So after the first hour, I kept on looking because I thought it's got to be crackable. Couldn't find an Angelina at all. Bear Market, Mel Rowley's horse are going really well. Looked good last time. I thought it won with a bit in hand. 9-2, up in class. Nah, not really. Wellington Arch, who knows what the John Joe horses are going to be like after their comeback. Rambo T was really impressive at Chepstow and is pretty good. But is he the first string of Ollie Murphy when he's got active authority in there with Lewis Saunders on it, who tends to ride his, you know, second in Charlton Festival? Don't know. Rubber Ball ran a bit better than his finishing position would say in the Greatwood, was it? But it was still beating Miles. But he still finished in front of Robbie's Cracking Rhapsody. I get Robbie's angle and I understand it because he's 16-1, a big price. Beat him 50 lengths last time, so he was off my list. Sunray Shadow was interesting because he was Skelton. And I thought he'll have had this in his mind for a handicap like this, but he's got no form whatsoever. Stream of Stars is a 10-year-old. Kepler's Law ran terrible. Well, got beaten a long way at Newbury last weekend. Didn't know where to go. Didn't know where to go. Literally have no clue. If forced, active authority, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I ended up going down. I mean, I think everyone, you know, he was the big eye catcher, wasn't he, in the Martin Pipe? And then everyone backed him in a completely different race up to 3 miles at Aintree. Thought he ran quite well at Newbury, but 2.5 miles for Lewis Saunders. He's 1-2 and finished second to Wadu, who's a grade one horse. So, I'd be disappointed if he doesn't come rattling home down the Aintree straight for a place, at the very least, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I came down on. But he's only 5-1 in a race where, you know, look, there's four of them, but 5-1, 9-2. It's not my type. I get it. He would be my fancy, but I'm not sure I'm going to put any hard-earned, my hard, well, I wouldn't call it hard-earned, but put my earned on on anything in this race.
Yeah, fair enough. Kepler's Law for Boris the Blade. Rambo T, I like, but the price sucks, so no bet. Good discipline there, Tom Leach. And Darren Ewan's gone with Wellington Arch. And Paul Tolliver says Rubber Ball to bounce back to form.
Very good.
There you go, fantastic. Let's go to Sandown for the London National. Then 3.5 miles in bad ground at stiff track, stiff fences. This is going to be a test, but to be fair, there's quite a few horses in here who will relish this test. O'Connell is 5-2. Tanganyika is 4-1. Rivers Corner 9-2 with Ask Brewster. 11-2 bar those, and I'll go to a London National about the London National. It's the London person we could find. It's Robbie Wilder.
Yeah,
what
well, Rodderson isn't around, is he? But he wouldn't be far off either.
Not far off.
Okay, was even. Yeah, I like Ask Brewster. I know the big man tipped him for the Coral Gold Cup, didn't run in that. I'm surprised he didn't tip him in this race today, Tom. That surprised me that you didn't tip him.
Yeah, just don't know why. No.
Because he's in
the track was different. I thought the track was different. I was worried about the ground.
Yep.
Harry Cobden is riding. When I did it, he was 4-1. And the one I fancied was a much, much bigger price. They're the same price now. So... Yeah. I probably might switch if I had my time again, because I'm a big fan of Ask Brewster. Slightly worried if it really, really rains. But love the horse. I think he's really well handicapped. Could see him. You know, I've no doubt he can win. I like Rivers Corner, though. You've sort of set me up there, Rob. Just like the form. Just thought he was really good at Newbury. Think he'll stay forever. I think he's guaranteed to improve for this. Love the way he jumps. Good run last time, over 2.5 miles extra, staying on behind a horse that won again today. Down the bottom of the weight, so didn't realise this, but he's top rated on Racing Post ratings as well, which for an unexposed horse in a race like this, I thought was quite interesting. He was 12 to 1. He's now 9 to 2. That's probably a bit short stepping up in class, but I think he'll go well. O'Connell's obviously got a big chance too, having won here, the Masters here. Last year, he should have no problem stepping up. Stu Smith's and Joe Parkinson. His horses are in great form. Another competitive race. When I did it, Rivers Corner was double the price he is now. I think he's about the right price now. Ask Brewster is a massive favourite of mine, and I could see him winning too.
Right. And I hope he does. He's obviously won three on the spin. Fast time, fast finish at Chepstow last time. He did that thing where he rallies to victory after being headed. I like horses who do that. Yeah. Big fan of horses who do that. Dig in, getting stuck in. He's just on an upward curve, and his stamina's proven. Sure, I get the slight ground concerns, but he has won on that terrain over hurdles. And Harry Cobden is up. So, yeah, I think plenty worse 9-2 shots you'll see on Saturday's card.
All right. Tanganyika not got a chance, I thought.
Got a chance, yeah. Make the case for me.
Well, just that Cheltenham race. I mean, they went like it was a 6-furlong sprint for half that. It was mad. They were going at Protectorat. Tanganyika, there was loads of them went off in an insane gallop. And I thought, there's no way in hell this horse is going to finish tailed off. And I thought he ran quite well first run of the season. Venetia Williams again, ready to strike, potentially.
Yep. But I get it, yeah.
But anyway, again, it's another cracking field, isn't it? There really are some good races on Saturday. So they're probably
competitive, aren't they, Ross? I mean, they're not massive fields, but they're all got a little bit of something, a little bit of pizzazz about them, haven't they?
I mean, you need three horses to make a race, don't you? You can have an 8-runner field, but you need three horses to make it a proper battle. And there's not a single race tomorrow where I'm thinking,
Yeah, even the ones with odds on favourites, like, you can make cases for others. So
yeah, those odds on favourites there's interesting angles even with the odds on favourites.
Exactly. So although El Teton wins.
Yes, I agree. Any other races worth mentioning that we haven't covered, gents?
I don't think so.
Yes, I would mention the Chepstow, the Welsh National Trial down there. That's a very, very good pointer to the Welsh National, funnily enough, given it's a trial.
Yeah.
But it is. Over the years, it's always been very good because it's the perfect timing beforehand, same track, invariably run on soft ground as well. I thought it's very interesting to see how a couple of horses ran there. The Nick Gifford horse, a work in progress, who's won 4 or 5 on the bounce and looks like he could take another step forward. And Buck's Fizz horse, Making Your Mind Up, I think it's called, that has been off for a bit, but Paul Nicholls has always said he was a Welsh National horse. Been off for a year or a bit. He comes back. This one, obviously, he'll need this, but if he ran well or ran with promise, he'd be one to look forward. But the Christmas extravaganza in Wales.
All right, yeah. And I think the 12-10 at Sandown as well looks a cracker as well. Of course, the race that introduced Constitution Hill properly to the racing game. Remember him? Sober Glory, Hurricane Pat, Soldier Reeve, Shabalko Derm and Fresh Perspective, all of them off the back of really impressive wins. I mean, it's a listed race, but we could potentially get a proper graded horse out of that. So, yeah, good stuff tomorrow. Right. No advert, I believe, to close off, but I am going to remind you that Black Friday offer on Racing Post Plus does end tonight. So sign up, 30% off every single package for the Racing Post Plus. Lots to like about this weekend in all three of those packages as well. Right, let's get the best bets, the naps for Tingle Creek Day or Beecher Chase Day over at Aintree. Starting off with the value shirt to my left, Mr. Robbie Wilders.
Oh, thank you. Tom's going to kick himself. Ask Brewster, 3:35 at Sandown.
Right, okay, you're going to make him regret.
Indeed.
Jumping off Ask Brewster. Tom.
I'm going to you, Ross, because I think every week you do the last one. You always get the short straw. So I'm being a very nice chap and letting you go next.
All right. Well, I'm hoping I'm going to need a long straw, Tom, for Knickerbocker Glory.
Oh, that's boring. I gave you the chance and you come up with Knickerbocker Glory. It's the last time I do that.
I could give you one at Wolverhampton if you like instead. But is that more interesting?
Yes, that would be nice. What have you got at Wolverhampton?
I'll tell you what, let me just remind me what time the race is and you crack on.
Damn it, I was stalling for time and now you've put the pressure on.
All right, go on then.
I was going to go for River's Corner, but Robbie's taken that race. So I will go for Bioluminescence in the Beecher Chase for the in-form Kevin Cromwell.
And I hope you're right.
Right, okay. The one at Wolverhampton like is Mr. Baloo in the 6:30. Supposed to run the other week at Wolverhampton, got abandoned due to fog, but really good record at the track. Dropped down in grade, picked up quite a bit of all-weather bonus money last year, and I think that might be the plan again. Again, class dropper, Alec Vakansky.
Still with Richard Hannon?
Richard Hannon, Alec Vakansky, yeah. Double figure odds. And literally, as I looked then, it was 12 to 1. I'm halfway through the sentence, it's turned to 10. So someone's already backed it. But anyway, so there you go. Is that more interesting than Knickerbocker Glory, Tom?
A lot more interesting than Knickerbocker Glory, Ross. Well done.
All right, thanks, mate. Right, well, we'll see you next week. But subscribe to the channel. Do it now. Subscribe.
Like us.
Subscribe.
Like us.
Subscribe.